This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Today is NBA draft day, and joining me to speak about the draft and all things NBA is president and CEO of Chicago-based Edge Sports International, Keith Kreider. Thanks for joining me, Keith.
Nice to be with you.
Tell me, how long have you been a sports agent?
So I've been representing athletes for about 23 years now. It's been quite a run.
23 years. Geez, how'd you get into this?
You know, coming out of U of I began working with a gentleman by the name of Steve Zucker, who at the time had Deion Sanders, Jim McMahon, several top NBA guys. He was probably one of the top three guys in the entire business, and I got lucky enough to start with him. And then shortly thereafter, I just figured, you know, guys would want more of a full-service approach, so I decided to form my own firm when I was about 25, 26 years old.
Wow, that's really young. Being an agent, is that like Jerry Maguire, you know, show me the money?
You know, everybody asked me that question. It's so perfect because it really was a wonderful interpretation of the business. It was so exact, so dead on. I enjoyed every minute.
But is it? I mean, is it kind of like that fast-paced, or is it kind of just like a regular agent thing?
Well, you know, luckily over the years it's gotten a little bit more professional, a little bit more corporate, but because I've been doing this for so long, I've seen it all, and quite frankly, over the years, it has just been so cutthroat. You know, a lot of guys don't choose you based on the merits. You know, very often guys are bought. People start working on a kid as early as eighth grade, and, you know, very often these kids are delivered, and so it's very difficult, but that's why you have to make a decision. You know, even when the young kids call me and say, I want to get in, I always say, listen, it's a 10, 15-year climb. If you're looking to sprint a marathon here, you want, you know, quick success over 2 or 3 years, this is not the industry for you. If you're going to break into this, you really have to build it the right way and build a reputation. Otherwise, it's just way too tough because, you know, to lie, cheat, and steal, that's not my deal, nor is it, you know, a lot of people's deal. So you have to really be careful. And if you want to do it the right way and build a good reputation, boy, is it a climb.
So when you say reputation, are you talking about like marketability or reputation as in like things that they're doing within their field?
Well, you know, when I say build a reputation and build a safe haven, so to speak, I mean, you know, listen, if you want to do things the right way, because 98% of the business, I know this sounds crude, but it's really true, you know, they go about it the wrong way. You've, you know, probably read a little bit about the stories, but and a lot of people think it's glamorous, but it's really not. So, you know, I decided to kind of fly above it, right, and build brick by brick and create a full-service approach, a wonderful infrastructure, and, you know, it takes time. And you have to really profess your craft, and you have to be able to show, you know, the athletes over the years that when they come to you, you will get results. You know, you'll really allow them to thrive both on and off, and that, it does, in fact, take a lot of time. So we're finally at the point, you know, over the last 10 years, we've, you know, built what we really were hoping to build. And, you know, we feel like we're able to compete with anybody now because we feel like we've branded ourselves as one of the best in the business at what we do. And that's develop excitement for the athlete and take care of them well beyond just, you know, their playing days.
Now, when you're considering taking on a client, do you ever say to yourself, man, this guy, he's so marketable, you know, we're going to get so many endorsements and sponsorships? Or do you sit there and say, this guy, I don't know what to do with him?
Well, you know, we really look for character. We want high character guys, but we also like the story. We like to think big. You know, we love the big stage. And, you know, if we feel that someone has a compelling story and someone is incredibly marketable, makes your job that much easier because then all of a sudden you become an auctioneer. Your phone rings when you're, you know, pitching guys that don't really have a captivating story or aren't that well known. Very difficult to get them going unless they, you know, experience a tremendous amount of success, right? You know, we were dealing with Arthur Agee from the movie Hoop Dreams, or we were dealing with the reshaping of Randy Moss's image, or dealing with Rafer Skiptomilu Austin. When we, you know, brought him to N1, a major shoe company, to develop a mixtape concept, you know, we knew he was one of the hotter names out of New York and he was very popular, and we felt like that would be an exciting story. So we're always looking for compelling stories, and we've always felt that's a great way to go. And if you are involved with someone who's that captivating, boy, like I said, it makes your job that much easier.
Now, before we get into the NBA draft, one of the things you hear a lot about is super teams. Could you explain to me what exactly a super team is?
It's kind of like a mature AAU team where, you know, the bigger stars in the league just, you know, like to play with each other and seek each other out to kind of, what I feel is taking the easy way out, to try to, you know, band together and have 3 or 4 studs that, you know, can kind of dominate folks. And, you know, it's worked for some folks. And, you know, then there's Michael Jordan who said, you know what, I'll play with whoever you give me and I'll dominate no matter what. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit for what he did. So I felt like, you know, I feel like he really had a tougher road, but Yeah, the super teams, I think it's tough. I'm not a big fan of it. You know, that and the tanking, I think, has taken a toll on the league. But, you know, we'll see where it goes. I mean, to have the Warriors and Cavs face off 4 years in a row, I'm not so sure that's healthy for the league. So I think it might need to be looked at.
Yeah, I think so, too. I remember Michael Jordan, he said in an interview, I think it was a year ago, he said that super teams are going to hurt the NBA. And I think it has a little bit, too.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And, you know, I mean, this year I think everybody was hoping Houston was going to get in. People were hoping that Boston was going to get in. And it's just tough. You know, you look at the Warriors. Now, I will tell you, the Warriors to me are a little bit of an exception. They drafted well. I mean, listen, they drafted Curry. They drafted Thompson. They drafted Draymond Green in the second round. They did a remarkable job. But when you see all these people, you know, trying to assemble the typical, because it's a copycat league, they all want their three superstars or four superstars. When they're working so hard to assemble that, I'm kind of like, I'd rather build a little bit through the draft, sign a star or two, but build a culture, build something special. I'm not so sure it makes a lot of sense.
And you said the Warriors, they cultivated themselves a bit. Shouldn't the league, like everybody, sit there and say, hey man, if they did it, we can too. We just got to stick it out. Why haven't they, though?
Because the Warriors are just too damn talented. Excuse my French. I mean, Durant is beyond special. Curry's, I mean, they're catching lightning in a bottle. They're catching people where, like, you're talking about four Hall of Famers, potentially. I mean, that's so rare. That just doesn't happen. So it's tough. I mean, you're dealing with a once-in-a-hundred-year situation.
Before we get into the NBA, I just want to know, what did you think about LeBron? Do you think he's going to stay in Cleveland, or do you think he's going to move?
I would love for him to stay in Cleveland and, you know, live out that legacy, but I kind of feel like he's done a lot, right? He's done so much for the city. He's won a couple rings there. He's done something the city has never seen, for the Cavaliers to win their first championship. So I think he's entitled to just be happy and, you know, go to a place where his family's going to be happy, where his kids are going to be happy. So I think he's done a lot, and I think it's going to probably be, you know, something where people are going to come down hard on him if he leaves, but I kind of go the other way with it. I kind of feel like he's entitled to choose what he wants to do. He deserves it. You know, he's in the twilight of his career. Let him go and be happy. Not like he wouldn't be unhappy in Cleveland. I'm sure he would be. But if he feels like he needs a change of scenery, you know, so be it. Why not? He's not going to play much longer.
Now let's get into the NBA draft. It kind of feels right now everybody wants to stack their team to go against the Warriors. But how does the draft order even work?
You know, it's all based on odds, right? I mean, the worst team gets the best odds of getting the first pick and so forth. So it really is basically a race to the bottom. And they're going to change that this year, where the bottom three teams are going to have the same odds. I wish it gets to the point where the bottom nine teams or bottom eight teams all have the same odds. You really have to build the right way. But some people, like Philly, over the last several years have professed the craft where, you know, if you tank and you're proficient at it and you do a wonderful job and you get the first or second or third pick every year, you could build something pretty special. It's going to take time. You got to trust the process, as they say. But, you know, it got to the point where people felt like it was getting to be a little obscene, the losing. So they had to step in and do something different. But certainly they were able to build it. But, you know, you look at some guys who went top five over the last several years that haven't really panned out. You know, just because you have a top five pick doesn't really mean you're always going to have that type of success. Philly might be an anomaly, but, you know, we'll see.
Now, one of the things I've noticed about the order of the list is some people are just switching spots. How are they able to just switch their spot around?
Well, that's based on trading from prior years. And, you know, some picks are protected based on certain positions in the draft. And some people say that, you know, if I trade you X amount of player on the Bulls, you know, in 2018-19, you know, I'm going to have, you know, a top 10 pick, a top 15 pick, whatever it might be. So a lot of those picks are conveyed by this year.
Who are some of the top players that are going to be involved in the draft this year?
You know, they're saying the top five is really going to be like the Ayton kid from University of Arizona, once-in-a-lifetime center, a prospect, just so talented, you know, can really do a lot of things very, very well. They're not so sure he could step out, but they're saying his talent level is like the second coming of Hakeem Olajuwon, who's a Hall of Famer, so almost like a can't-miss prospect. So everybody's expecting him to go to number one. Number two could be the big fella from Duke, Bagley, Marvin Bagley, very talented kid. You know, he's kind of been in that range for a long time, long, could do it all, great athlete. They're saying number three, you know, could be the Jaren Jackson kid out of Michigan State, the freshman, about 6'11", could do it all, shoot threes, play inside, outside, Durant type. Number four, they say, could be the Doncic kid from Real Madrid at 19 years old, was the EuroLeague MVP, which is very rare. Some people are digging him a little bit, and they say he has a few words because, you know, he might not be the best athlete, you know, wherever it might be, but, you know, it's hard to argue against all his success. He's a wonderful talent. I think he'll be very successful in the league. And you can argue he should be the number one pick. And then you've got the kid Mamba out of Texas, who's got a 7'10 wingspan, which is so unusual. Kid's a freak of nature, proving during the workout process he could step out and shoot it a little bit. Good athlete. He might go 5 for the Mavericks. They need a rim roller. They need a great athlete. They need someone to anchor the middle to go with Dennis Smith. You know, you got Trey Young, who everybody loves. There's a little question about his defense, but boy, what a talent he is. They're saying he could be the next Steph Curry. So he could go 6 to Orlando. They need a point guard. And then comes the Bulls. This is going to be very interesting. A lot of people are saying they could look at the Michael Porter kid from Missouri, who's had some back problems. If his health checks out, he could be a no-brainer for the Bulls. If not, there's some talk that it might be Wendell Carter. There's some talk that could be trading down a little bit. Who knows? But they've got a few nice options to look at. I think they'll have a good draft with Lauri Markkanen and Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine. They've got a nice nucleus to build from. They just need to add a piece or two. So it'll be interesting to see what the Bulls do.
The Phoenix Suns, they have the number one pick. Who do you think they're going to take out of everybody?
They're probably going to go with Ayton, the kid from Arizona, who is that type of prospect that we just mentioned that could be another Olajuwon. There are some people, though, that say that, you know, Luka Doncic could still be the number one pick. The reason why they say that is because, of course, the Suns need a point guard. This kid could play the 1-2-3. He's a lefty, 6'8". The other reason why they say that he could go number one is because he's from Slovenia. And the coach they just named at Phoenix is from Slovenia. They have a nice, nice relationship. I believe he played for this coach on the Slovenian national team, so there's a bond there. So some people wouldn't be shocked if the Phoenix Suns stepped up and took that kid.
You talked a little bit about the Chicago Bulls, and the Chicago Bulls, they kind of fell off a bit. Derrick Rose is gone. We lost Noah. So what do you think the Bulls has to do now to get back on top, to get back to the glory 96 days?
You know, it's such a tough question. You got to get a little lucky, of course. And I think what we've seen in the NBA, the best teams over the last 10 years have really won because of culture. You look at the Warriors, as talented as they are, they're wonderful guys. People love those guys. They're so close. And, you know, they're really there for each other. So I think the Bulls now have wonderful character guys on their roster, and I think they want to continue down that path. So I think first and foremost, they want to find a terrific talent, but someone who also brings high character. This is a critical, critical draft. I do think they do need another wing. They probably need another big. They need someone to anchor that offense. They need to get a little bit longer, a little bit more athletic. And in today's NBA, you're looking at big wings, people who can play, you know, the 2-3, whatever, at 6'8", 6'9", and guard multiple positions. That is what's really trendy, and that's what's key right now in the NBA, to find that versatility. And of course, you got to be able to shoot the ball. So they are looking for shooters as well.
Looks like they're looking for a lot, though.
Certainly they are. But I really believe they're a piece or two away, not for a championship, but to really get over that hump where they're extremely competitive. And then they'll fill in during free agency. They are one of the teams that has a lot of cap space.
But when it comes down to, if anything, Eastern Conference seems really weak right now. For the Cavaliers to just bang their way through the Eastern Conference and get swept in the championships just goes to show how weak the Eastern Conference is. And I'm very concerned about that because, you know, we're in here. The Chicago's part of it. So it's, and, you know, growing up with the Bulls, you expect better. At least from us, I expect better.
I know. How spoiled were we during the Michael era, right? It was like every single year, you just think it was a foregone conclusion. We would just take home the championship.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I can't believe we pick our head up. It's almost been 20 years since the Michael era. So it's incredible. So time to get rolling, right? But
yeah,
I will tell you that you bring up a great point about the Eastern Conference. However, I do feel with Philly coming on strong this year, they're only going to get better. They're literally a piece or two away. And then even though Toronto didn't really have a great playoff run, they still have some key pieces. I think they'll be okay. Boy, look at how great of a job Brad Stevens did with Boston. I mean, you know, with Kyrie Irving coming back and Hayward coming back healthy, that team is going to be dangerous. So I do think the Eastern Conference will be much better in a year or two without any question.
Yeah, hopefully, because it's, it was kind of silly this time around. I just didn't expect Cleveland to get swept, and that's exactly what happened. And it was a bit disappointing because if it was going to get swept, Boston might as well have gone in there, you know, just let them have it.
100%, and you're exactly right. Cleveland, it was like LeBron just put on the cape and just carried them.
Yeah, and he,
you know,
shouldn't
the supporting
have.
Cast. No, he shouldn't have is exactly right. They should have been stopped somewhere. Look, the Pacers almost did it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's another team I forgot to mention. I do think the Pacers are a piece or two away from being extremely competitive. Look at Oladipo. You can argue, you know, he was an all-star this year, but you can argue that they maybe won the trade with Oklahoma City. He's done that well.
Hopefully something will shake up this time with the NBA draft. They'll get some new blood in the Eastern Conference, and we'll be back to glory days or something. I just want to see somebody take on, you know, the Warriors.
100% agree. It's time, right? I think the NBA needs it too. I mean, yeah, we need to shake it up. There's no question about it.
Well, Keith, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Yeah, they can go to our Twitter, @edge_sports is the handle, or they can go to our website at edgesportsintl.com, and a lot of it is there.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.